The International Court of Justice, ICJ, the principal judicial organ of the United Nations, delivered on July 20, 2012, its judgment in the case of Belgium versus Senegal concerning questions relating to the obligation to prosecute or extradite. The International Court of Justice was established by the United Nations Charter in June 1945 and has a twofold role. First, to settle, in accordance with international law, legal disputes submitted to it by states. Its judgments have binding force and are without appeal for the parties concerned. And second, to give advisory opinions on legal questions referred to it by duly authorized United Nations organs and agencies of the system. The present case before the court started on February 19, 2009, when Belgium filed in the registry of the court an application instituting proceedings against Senegal in respect to a dispute concerning Senegal's compliance with its obligation to prosecute Mr. Hissène Habré, former president of the Republic of Chad, for acts including crimes of torture and crimes against humanity, which are alleged against him as perpetrator, co-perpetrator, or accomplice, or to extradite him to Belgium for the purposes of criminal proceedings. In its application, Belgium based its claims on the United Nations Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment of the 10th of December 1984, as well as on customary international law. At the hearing held on March 19, 2012, the Kingdom of Belgium requested the International Court of Justice to adjudge and declare that, first, Senegal breached its international obligations by failing to incorporate in due time into its domestic law the provisions necessary to enable the Senegalese judicial authorities to exercise the universal jurisdiction provided for in Article 5, Paragraph 2 of the Convention Against Torture. Second, that Senegal has breached and continues to breach its international obligations under Article 6, Paragraph 2, and Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention Against Torture, and under other rules of international law by failing to bring criminal proceedings against Hissène Habré for acts characterized in particular as crimes of torture, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide, alleged against him as perpetrator, co-perpetrator, or accomplice, or otherwise to extradite him to Belgium for the purposes of such criminal proceedings. Third, that Senegal may not invoke financial or other difficulties to justify the breaches of its international obligations. And fourth, that Senegal is required to cease these internationally wrongful acts by submitting the Hissène Habré case without delay to its competent authorities for prosecution, or failing that, by extraditing Hissène Habré to Belgium without further ado. At the hearing held on March 21, 2012, Senegal asked the court to adjudge and declare that, principally, the court cannot adjudicate on the merits of the application filed by the Kingdom of Belgium because it lacks jurisdiction as a result of the absence of a dispute between Belgium and Senegal and the inadmissibility of that application. In the alternative, should the court find that it has jurisdiction and that Belgium's application is admissible, that Senegal has not breached any of the provisions of the 1984 Convention Against Torture, in particular, those prescribing the obligation to try or extradite in Article 6, Paragraph 2, and Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention, or more generally, any other rule of conventional law, generally international law, or customary international law in this area. Furthermore, in taking the various measures that have been described, Senegal is fulfilling its commitments as a state party to the 1984 Convention Against Torture. In taking the appropriate measures and steps to prepare for the trial of Mr. Habré, Senegal is complying with the declaration by which it made a commitment before the court, and that consequently rejects all the requests set forth in the application of the Kingdom of Belgium.
Before pronouncing on the merits, the court described the historical and factual background to the case. It noted that after taking power on June 7, 1982, at the head of a rebellion, Mr. Hissène Habré was president of the Republic of Chad for 8 years, during which time large-scale violations of human rights were allegedly committed. Mr. Habré was overthrown on December 1, 1990, After a brief stay in Cameroon, he requested political asylum from the Senegalese government, a request which was granted. He then settled in Dakar, where he has been living ever since. From January 25, 2000 onwards, a number of proceedings relating to crimes alleged to have been committed during Mr. Abré's presidency were instituted before both Senegalese and Belgian courts by Chadian nationals, Belgian nationals of Chadian origin, and persons with dual Belgian-Chadian nationality, together with an association of victims. The matter was also referred by Chadian nationals to the United Nations Committee Against Torture and the African Court on Human and People's Rights. For its part, Senegal referred the issue of the institution of proceedings against Mr. Abré to the African Union. On September 19, 2005, the Belgian investigating judge issued an international warrant in absentia for the arrest of Mr. Abré, indicted as a perpetrator or co-perpetrator inter alia of serious violations of international humanitarian law, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. On this basis, Belgium requested the extradition of Mr. Abré from Senegal, and Interpol circulated a red notice serving as a request for provisional arrest with a view to extradition. Three further requests for extradition have since been transmitted to the Senegalese authorities by Belgium, of which two, dated March 15, 2011 and September 5, 2011, were declared inadmissible by the competent Senegalese authorities. The Dakar Court of Appeal has not yet taken a decision on the last request, dated January 17, 2012. Regarding the jurisdiction of the court, since the existence of a dispute is a condition of its jurisdiction over both bases of jurisdiction invoked by Belgium, and because any dispute that may have existed between the parties with regard to the interpretation or application of Article 5, Paragraph 2 of the Convention, which obliges states' parties to establish the universal jurisdiction of their courts over the crime of torture, had ended by the time the application was filed, the court concluded that it lacked jurisdiction to decide on Belgium's claim relating to that provision. The court also concluded that, at the time of the filing of the application, the dispute between the parties did not relate to breaches of obligations under customary international law, and that, accordingly, it had no jurisdiction to decide on Belgium's claims related thereto. The court noted, however, that Belgium's claims based on the interpretation and application of Article 6, Paragraph 2, which provides that a state party in whose territory a person alleged to have committed acts of torture is present, must immediately make a preliminary inquiry into the facts, and Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention, under which a state party has an obligation to submit the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution, were positively opposed by Senegal. The court inferred that a dispute existed at the time of the filing of the application and noted that this dispute still exists. The court also concluded that the other conditions for jurisdiction under Article 30 of the Convention Against Torture had been met since. The dispute could not be settled through negotiation, and after a request for arbitration had been made by one of the parties, in this case Belgium, the parties were unable to agree within 6 months on the organization of the arbitration. The court concluded from its analysis that each of these conditions was met. It thus found that it had jurisdiction to entertain the dispute between the parties concerning the interpretation and application of Article 6, Paragraph 2, and Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention Against Torture. Regarding the admissibility of Belgium's claims, the court considers that any state party to the Convention Against Torture may invoke the responsibility of another state party with a view to ascertaining the alleged failure to comply with its obligations erga omnes, that is, obligations owed toward all states' parties. Such obligations include those under Article 6, Paragraph 2, making a preliminary inquiry into the facts, and Article 7, Paragraph 1, the extradite or prosecute obligation, and bringing that failure to comply to an end. The court concluded that, in the present proceedings, Belgium, as a state party to the Convention Against Torture, had standing to invoke the responsibility of Senegal for the alleged breaches of its obligations under those provisions. Accordingly, the court found that Belgium's claims based on these provisions were admissible.
Although the court established that it had no jurisdiction in this case over Belgium's claims under Article 5, Paragraph 2 of the Convention, it noted that the performance by the state of its obligations to establish the universal jurisdiction of its courts over the crime of torture is a necessary condition for enabling a preliminary inquiry under Article 6, Paragraph 2, and for submitting the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution under Article 7, Paragraph 1. Article 5, paragraph 2 of the Convention states, each state party shall take such measures as may be necessary to establish its jurisdiction over such offenses in cases where the alleged offender is present in any territory under its jurisdiction and it does not extradite him pursuant to Article 8 to any of the states mentioned in paragraph 1 of this article. The purpose of all these obligations is to enable proceedings to be brought against the suspect in the absence of his extradition and to achieve the object and purpose of the convention, which is to make the struggle against torture more effective by avoiding impunity for the perpetrators of such acts. The obligation for the state to criminalize torture and to establish its jurisdiction over it finds its equivalence in the provisions of many international conventions for combating international crimes. This obligation, which has to be implemented by the state concerned as soon as it is bound by the convention, has in particular a preventative and deterrent character. This is because by equipping themselves with the necessary legal tools to prosecute this type of offense, the state parties ensure that their legal systems will operate to that effect and commit themselves to coordinating their efforts to eliminate any risk of impunity. This preventative character is all the more pronounced as the number of states parties increases. The Convention Against Torture brings together 150 states which have committed themselves to prosecuting suspects, in particular on the basis of universal jurisdiction. The court found that by not adopting the necessary legislation until 2007, Senegal delayed the submission of the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution, thus affecting the implementation of its obligations under Article 6, Paragraph 2, and Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention. Having observed that the preliminary inquiry provided for in Article 6, Paragraph 2 is intended to corroborate or not the suspicions regarding a person alleged to have committed acts of torture, the court noted that Senegal has not included in the case file any material demonstrating that it carried out such an inquiry. The court observed that, in the present case, establishing the facts at issue was an essential stage that had been imperative at least since the year 2000, when a complaint was filed in Senegal against Mr. Abré. The court further noted that there was nothing in the material submitted to the court to indicate that a preliminary inquiry had been opened following the filing of a second complaint against Mr. Abré in Dakar in 2008. It therefore concluded that Senegal breached its obligations under Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the Convention. Regarding the alleged breach of the obligation laid down in Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention, which contains the eau de dare, eau judicare principle, the court first stated that the obligation of the state party to submit the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution was formulated in such a way as to leave it to those authorities to decide whether or not to initiate proceedings, thus respecting the independence of states' parties' judicial systems. The court then examined certain questions relating to the nature and meaning of the obligation laid down in Article 7, Paragraph 1, its temporal scope, and its implementation in this case.
The court first observed that Article 7, Paragraph 1, requires the state concerned to submit the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution, irrespective of the existence of a prior request for the extradition of the suspect. It then noted, however, that if the state in whose territory the suspect is present has received a request for extradition in any of the cases envisaged in the provisions of the Convention, it can relieve itself of its obligation to prosecute by acceding to that request. The court thus concluded that extradition is an option offered to the state by the Convention, whereas prosecution is an international obligation under the Convention, the violation of which is a wrongful act entailing the responsibility of the state. As to the temporal scope of this obligation, in the court's opinion, the prohibition against torture is part of customary international law and has become a peremptory or jus cogens norm. It is grounded in a widespread international practice and on the opinio iuris of states, and appears in numerous international instruments of universal application, in particular the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of 1948, the 1949 Geneva Conventions for the Protection of War Victims, and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights of 1966. Furthermore, The prohibition against torture has been introduced into the domestic law of almost all states, and acts of torture are regularly denounced within national and international fora. However, the obligation to prosecute the alleged perpetrators of acts of torture under the convention applies only to facts having occurred after its entry into force for the state concerned. The court concluded that Senegal's obligation to prosecute pursuant to Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the convention does not apply to acts alleged to have been committed before the convention entered into force for Senegal on June 26, 1987. The court next considered the effect for Belgium, the date of entry into force of the convention, on the scope of the obligation to prosecute. It found that Belgium has been entitled since July 25, 1999, the date when it became a party to the convention, to request the court to rule on Senegal's compliance with its obligation under Article 7, Paragraph 1. In the present case, the court noted that Belgium invoked Senegal's responsibility for the latter's conduct starting in the year 2000, when a complaint was filed against Mr. Abré in Senegal. Regarding the implementation of the obligation to extradite or prosecute laid down in Article 7, Paragraph 1, the court found that Senegal's duty to comply with its obligations under the convention cannot be affected by the November 18, 2010 decision of the ECOWAS Court of Justice. That decision found that Senegal's amendment to its penal code in 2007 might be contrary to the principle of non-retroactivity of criminal laws, and the proceedings against Hissène Habré should be conducted before an ad hoc court of an international character. The ICJ was also of the opinion that the financial difficulties raised by Senegal could not justify the fact that it failed to initiate proceedings against Mr. Habré, and that the referral of the matter to the African Union could not justify Senegal's delays in complying with its obligations under the convention. The court further observed that, under Article 27 of the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, which reflects customary international law, Senegal could not justify its breach of the obligation provided for in Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention Against Torture by invoking provisions of its internal law. The court concluded that the obligation provided for in Article 7, Paragraph 1 required Senegal to take all measures necessary for its implementation as soon as possible, in particular once the first complaint had been filed against Mr. Habré in 2000. Having failed to do so, Senegal breached, and remains in breach, of its obligations under Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Convention. The court also recalled that Senegal's failure to adopt until 2007 the legislative measures necessary to institute proceedings against Mr. Habré on the basis of universal jurisdiction delayed the implementation of its other obligations under the Convention. It further stated that Senegal was in breach of its obligation under Article 6, Paragraph 2, make a preliminary inquiry into the crimes of torture alleged to have been committed by Mr. Habré, as well as of the obligation under Article 7, Paragraph 1, to submit the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution. In failing to comply with its obligations under those provisions, Senegal neglected its international responsibility. Consequently, Senegal is required to cease this continuing wrongful act in accordance with general international law on the responsibility of states for internationally wrongful acts. The court concluded, therefore, that if Senegal does not extradite Mr. Habré, it must take, without further delay, the necessary measures to submit the case to its competent authorities for the purpose of prosecution.
Following the ICJ's decision in this case, Senegal seems to have renewed negotiations to create a special court to try Habré, as mandated by the ECOWAS Court of Justice in its November 18, 2010 ruling. There, the ECOWAS Court concluded that an ad hoc tribunal should be tasked to try Habré on the basis of general principles of law common to the community of nations. In a move designed to avoid the exercise of domestic jurisdiction over offenses that were already criminalized under either national or international law at the moment of their alleged commission, which constitutes in itself a step backward in the access to justice for victims of gross human rights violations, the ECOWAS Court contended that the legislative changes adopted in 2007 by Senegal, incorporating international crimes into its penal code and providing for extraterritorial jurisdiction of Senegalese courts over international crimes, would violate the principle of non-retroactivity of criminal law if applied to prosecute crimes allegedly committed by Habré almost 20 years before. This is rather contradictory. While the national incorporating law could not apply retroactively, the statute of an ad hoc tribunal, which has the same function as the incorporating law, namely that of determining the jurisdiction of the judicial organ, could do so. The ECOWAS court has competence to adjudicate on any dispute between ECOWAS member states regarding the application and the interpretation of the Treaty of the Community, as well as any disputes arising under agreements other than the treaty between the member states that so provide. It has also jurisdiction to determine cases of violations of human rights that occur in any member state. In the area of human rights protection, the ECOWAS Court also applies, inter alia, international instruments related to human rights and ratified by the state's parties to the case. The ECOWAS Court was wrong in holding that there would be a difference between an ad hoc tribunal, which would be entitled to apply criminal law retroactively, and a Senegalese court, which would instead not be empowered to do so. The court's finding would not only prove unprecedented and potentially unfair, but also erroneous. As a matter of fact, in the period when the facts allegedly committed by Abré took place, the criminalization of crimes against humanity, war crimes, and torture was set out at the level of international treaty and customary law. The principle of non-retroactivity has evolved in such a way as to admit two major exceptions, reflected in most human rights instruments. The principle is not violated when an act, even though it was not punishable under national criminal law at the time when it was performed, was nevertheless criminalized either, one, under international law, or two, according to general principles of law recognized by the community of nations. The ECOWAS Court's legal reasoning is tainted with many flaws concerning, first, the existence of an international custom to set an ad hoc tribunal, second, the undefined nature of such an ad hoc tribunal, third, the application of Article 15.2 of the ICCPR as the legal basis of this ad hoc tribunal, and fourth, the different nullum crimen sine lege standards suggested with respect to ad hoc tribunals. In an inconsistent manner, the ECOWAS Court concluded that any other option, including a domestic trial, would be in violation of the principle of non-retroactivity, which is in itself at odds with the fact that crimes against humanity and war crimes were already criminalized by international law at the moment when the facts at issue were allegedly committed by Abré, and that the incorporation of such offenses into Senegal's penal code has a jurisdictional function and the function of creating new crimes. The incorporating legislation is only a tool which enables national courts to apply the relevant rule of international law, criminalizing the conduct. This is why the ECOWAS Court decision is at odds with the principles of international law governing these types of serious offenses and their application by national courts. As a consequence of this all, on August 22, 2012, the African Union and Senegal announced that they signed an agreement to set up a special tribunal to try Chadian former dictator Hissène Habré. 4 days of talks in Dakar resulted in a draft agreement in July between the African Union and the Senegalese government on the creation of extraordinary African chambers within the Senegalese court structure. The court chambers will have four sections: instruction, investigations, trials, and appeals. They will consist of Senegalese and other African judges. The court should be operational by the end of the year.
This program was prepared with information provided by the press services of the International Court of Justice, the article by Valentina Spiga for the Oxford Journal of International Criminal Justice, titled Non-Retroactivity of Criminal Law, A New Chapter in the Hissène Habré Saga, and Equipo Niscor. This program was produced by Radio Niscor in collaboration with the International Human Rights Law Clinic at the American University Washington College of Law, and edited and post-produced at our studios in Belgium in November 2012.